every hour on the hour throughout your busy day. 93.5, 95.3. The new Connect FM.
J&J Show, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM, and we're jumping around because football is going to be back, right? Well, that's what we're hoping. We got Eric Edholm from Pro Football Weekly joining us right now. Eric, I mean, we're hearing reports of a conference call about how free agency might be handled. Should we take this as a sign that this thing is almost done? Please say yes.
No, I don't think so. I mean, it depends on your definition, I guess, if you want to put it in perspective and say this thing's lasted 115 days or whatever we're up to now. I mean, I suppose another week is not going to be that bad, but I really don't think we're going to find anything out concrete until, I'm going to say, a week from today. I think that's really what we're looking at, and I've always had kind of July 15th in my mind. A lot of teams' single-game tickets go on sale that day. There are other deadlines that the clubs have kind of put on, and I think there's still a lot of things to be figured out between now and then.
So what are you hearing right now? Is it more positive than it has been, or is it just kind of the same thing? I mean, owners and players, are they still disagreeing, or is there actually more urgency to get this done?
Yeah, I mean, there's urgency, but I would argue that this final push could be the toughest thing. I mean, they're really squabbling over percentage points for revenue split, and they're trying to figure out the number of years it's going to take players to get to free agency, and it's just one of those things where they got to sort of hammer out these final details, and it's going to take a lot of tough negotiations, over the next week or so, I think.
Talking with Eric Edholm from Pro Football Weekly, talking about the lockouts. And Eric, the Eighth Circuit Court came out today and ruled that the lockout was legal. Does this have any bearing on the actual the players and owners coming together and having an agreement?
If anything, it probably is a subtle message from the court. I didn't read all 54 pages of the ruling today, but I was kind of skimming through it. And, it does sound like they're kind of hinting that, you know what, we need you to get this thing done, and we're going to rule something that neither one of you like. And, they've got the power to do it. So I don't know that the bearing is slants one way or another. I did talk to a union source who said it kind of did create a little bit of mayhem this morning. They weren't expecting it. They didn't get much advance notice. So it did kind of throw them off a little bit. But I don't think it hurt one side or the other. I know people sort of proclaimed it a victory for the owners. I didn't exactly see it quite that way. It was pretty expected from what I can tell.
A 54-page legal document, you skim through that. I mean, how well have you gotten? I mean, could you apply for law school right now and have the credentials to get in after mulling through all this legal jumbo, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, well, let's put it this way. Sports writers talking CBA stuff is a fail. I think I reached my expiration date on how much I can actually produce in terms of quality material for the website, for the newspaper, and for, radio shows such as this one. So it's a challenge. I've had to talk to a lot of legal experts and sort of figure out, what this stuff means. I've read plenty of things where I think I'm a smart individual, and yet I have no idea what they're talking about here. So it does take some interpretation here.
Well, I try to consider myself at least somewhat smart, but when I read this stuff, I think a lot of fans are the same way. When it's all this legal stuff, they don't care, and they just want this done. So what could reverse the momentum, or at least perceived momentum, that there is right now?
Well, if the owners or the players get greedy and try to push things too hard one way or another, and if the owners say, no, we won't budge on 6 years to unrestricted free agency, or if the players say we absolutely stick at 48% of the revenue share, I mean, then we've got a problem. Then all of a sudden we've got an impasse, and these guys won't budge one way or another. So it's tricky business. I think everybody kind of knows that, you're going to have to give up something to get something. It is a compromise, and things can change quickly. So back in 2006, when we had an 11th-hour deal, it took some people in some back rooms to make some really tough decisions, and, we were glad that Paul Tagliabue and Gene Upshaw did what they did at the time, but we're also in this situation partly because of what they had to do at the time. So, I mean, it's all kind of a chain effect, and if you don't get a good deal this time, we're going to be back in the same situation 4, 5, 6 years down the road. And that's the kind of thing they want to avoid. They want long-term harmony between the two sides and a deal that's fair to each portion.
Eric Edholm from Pro Football Weekly, joining us to update us on this lockout. And we saw D. Smith, head of the Players Union, and Roger Goodell get together a couple weeks ago, I believe, for the Rookie Symposium. And it seems like there's a little bit more talk between them. How would you rate how those guys have kind of handled this process so far?
I think pretty well. I mean, early on, I criticized D. Smith, and I've had words that were negative against Roger Goodell as well and for the way they handle things. But I doubt it had any effect. But it seemed like ever since I wrote those things, you know, there seemed to be a change in behavior. We'll assume those things are mutually exclusive events. But
no, you're
but
sending
yeah,
waves.
Think,
you're sending waves,
couple,
there,
I'm sorry?
You're sending waves to the NFL.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I seriously doubt it. But no, I mean, I think the Morris Smith has gotten the plan back on track. And I was warned by union people, look, some of the things he was doing and saying, there's a specific purpose in mind that when the union takes any action, they clearly think these things out, like playing chess. You want to think, okay, where am I going to stand in four or five moves? And so these things were calculated out well in advance. And, you know, it's hard to sort of see the big picture in mind sometimes. So, yeah, I think they've done a pretty nice job. Has this taken a little longer than I expected maybe 3 months ago? Yeah, I kind of thought that July 1st was sort of the date, but we've had to push that back a little bit now. And, you know, we can still salvage an entire season. That's the important part.
In Bears report to camp in 2 weeks, a lot of Bears fans around here in Champaign. Yeah. I know that's one of the first ones to get there. Is that the urgency right now? Do you still see them getting this done before that?
Yeah, I do. But, boy, I mean, you've got to decide about Bourbon A, and you've got to decide about, you know, obviously they're playing first. And, you know, it's a special game. I don't know if you've ever been, but, I mean, yeah. Canton really, you know, comes alive. It's a great city, and, you know, it's a super environment. And I hope they get that game in, but the sad truth is that if that game has to be canceled, there's still an excellent opportunity to maintain the regular season. We're not nearly at that point yet. So, yes, it can happen.
And, Eric, if it eventually lifts, no matter when it is, we have a lot to get to, though, real quick. The free agency, once the lockout is lifted, how is that going to be handled? Is it going to be, you know, all right, this is going to happen, and tomorrow we're starting free agency? How would that be handled? Do you know yet?
Yeah, I mean, let's say, and again, this is just the assumption I've been working under, that something is reached by Friday, a week from today. I believe free agency would then begin the following Monday. Now, they might have a short period where you can talk to the undrafted free agents. Remember, in a normal year, the draft is over. You can start talking to undrafted free agents and sign those guys. There might be an exclusive period where those guys are signed because the reality is they quickly go in about the first 30 minutes after the draft. So you might have a time period where those guys are done separately, talking to a couple agents who think that might be a possibility that they've heard of. But then, yeah, you'd have a free-for-all. You'd have a period where, you know, starting at midnight on whatever date, just like the regular free agent period in a normal year, but you're condensing it from, you know, 3 months worth in essence down to 10 days, 14 days, maybe a week, you know. So it's really going to put pressure on these general managers to make big moves if they have to improve their football team. Plus, you've got to sign all the draft picks. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to accomplish before that happens.
Talking with Eric Edholm from Pro Football Weekly. You can read his stuff at profootballweekly.com. So does free agency change at all? I know we don't know the exact rules, but, I mean, how would this impact free agency, just the short amount of time that they actually have to sign all these players before training camp?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it would speed things up, and you're going to see teams probably make some more mistakes. They've got a plan in mind. I mean, right. We don't know yet who's going to be available. Is it going to be the fourth-year guys, the fifth-year guys, or is it going to be only sixth and beyond who are free? So that's the big question. Who's restricted? Who's unrestricted? Those are the issues we have yet to figure out. But teams have had a plan. They've updated it. They've polished it up. They're ready to hit the phones and get rolling once free agency begins. But right now, they still got to just keep sitting on their hands.
Of the players that we know are going to be free agents, who are the guys that are going to be the most sought after right away that are really going to cash in on all this?
Well, I mean, Peyton Manning's going to get a new contract. We know that much. We know Nnamdi Asamoah is probably the best player who's going to change teams. You got to look at guys like Vincent Jackson, Logan Mankins. They're obviously guys who've been franchised. They're going to get paid one way or another. Will they re-sign with their teams? Yet to be seen. A guy to keep an eye on is Colin Jenkins. And it was rumored for a long time the Bears were the favorites for him if he left Green Bay. But now we're hearing that the Redskins might be the team who kind of swoops in and steals, and they run that 3-4 defense he used to be playing in. And I wouldn't be shocked if he's a guy who ends up with the Redskins and not the Bears.
Anyone specifically that you think the Bears are going to go after?
you know, they had such a big offseason last year. I think they're probably going to target one or two guys.
Yeah.
If they don't get Jenkins, I suspect they dial it down a little bit and don't go big. So that's probably what I'm looking for, just because, you know, they went big last season, and I don't think they can justify doing it 2 years in a row, unless the floor of the salary cap is higher than they anticipate and they've got to spend a little bit more money.
Talking with Eric Edholm from Pro Football Weekly. Eric, just a few more questions with you. We had Nate Bussey, a former Illini seventh-round pick. He was on with us the other day just talking about his lockout experience, you know, these workouts that these guys go through. You know, they're working, and they got to work hard to stay in shape, but it's still not the same as a team workout, right?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think the rookies are the ones who lose the most. I mean, they're the ones that normally would have to be learning the playbook at this point and, you know, sort of getting acclimated in their team systems. And, you know, Nate needs to find a home on a team and then figure out what he's going to be able to do in year one. And that process gets cut in half now. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, they don't have not nearly the time. Now, I think training camp still means a lot more than a May mini camp, of course, but you know, that time process, you know, that acclimation process, I should say, has been just slashed. And so these guys kind of lose. And I think a lot of lower draft picks and undrafted guys are really going to be hurt by this whole thing.
And last question for you, Eric. Terrell Pryor, I mean, a lot of Ohio State news coming out today. Are we still going to have a supplemental draft? And what are you hearing about Terrell Pryor? I mean, what would a team give up to get this guy?
Well, the people I've talked to don't think he would go any higher than the fourth round, and really I think that's even a little bit high, probably more like a fifth, sixth, or seventh round pick for him. It's possible that he would be undrafted, but I think some team is going to be wowed by his talent and say, you know what, we're willing to stash him on the bench. Maybe a Pittsburgh Steelers, they've kind of gone after that kind of a guy like Dennis Dixon in the past. I wouldn't be shocked if someone uses a low pick on him, uses him as sort of a third QB, a free rental for a year, and tries to develop him long term.
Is he a quarterback at the next level?
I don't think so. But, I mean, there are other teams out there that might want to try him there and then see what he offers at wide receiver. Remember, you have to train him to be a wide receiver. He doesn't offer much on special teams. Maybe he's just a Wildcat quarterback. I'm not sure.
Well, he was a heck of a basketball player, and I imagine,
I imagine
he'd be a heck of a red zone target. I mean, be like a Mike Williams that can just go up there above everybody. Plus, he's so fast. That boy's got 4.4 speed.
I mean, he's a freak of an athlete. He's just not a throwing quarterback at this point. That's why I think he's limited in the NFL.
Well, Eric Edholm from Pro Football Weekly, always enjoy your insight. You can read his stuff at profootballweekly.com. Hopefully you can get out of the law books in a few weeks here.
That would be fine with me. I'll be ready to get back to the winning combination of football and talking football.
All right, Eric. Well, we appreciate it, man.
All right, thanks.
That's Eric Edholm from profootballweekly.com. This has got to get done. Let's get this thing. We just want to play football. I want to go to Bears training camp in Bourbonnais, and if the longer this lasts, maybe they don't go to Bourbonnais. Maybe they just do it in Lake Forest, because Olivet's got its own football team up there. So hopefully we can get this done soon. It's just an hour ride up there. Do you guys think this is going to be done? I mean, are you feeling optimistic? What'd you think about what Eric had to say? 217-359-2255. That's 359-2255. Don't forget, Cardinals Diamondbacks live from St. Louis, loud and clear here. 6:20 pregame, 7:15 first pitch on the new home of Cardinals baseball, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Cardinals looking for a pitcher, but they're going to try and lock up one of their own. Jaime Garcia reportedly possibly going to sign a multi-year extension. It's not for sure yet, but he didn't deny that they're looking at this. Maybe a four-year, $27.5 million extension. What do you think of that? Also, trade deadline fast approaching. What do the Cardinals need? Probably pitching. You know, their hitting's fine, but Heath Bell is in the mix out of San Diego, the closer there, but reportedly that's not going to work. But what do you think the Cardinals need at the trade deadline? 217-359-2255, 359-2255. It's the Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM.